absentee ballots. So stay tuned. KBOO, always something good on KBOO, your radio station.
Alrighty, it is a minute before 10 o'clock, and it is your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Coming up in 15 minutes, today's Flashpoints, we'll be hearing the Flashpoints Election Protection Bulletin with investigative journalist Greg Pallast, and we feature an excerpt of the multi-part documentary series, Capitalism. At 11 today on Between the Covers, host David Naiman interviews Brian Blanchfield about his book, Proxies, Essays Near Knowing, a collection of 24 single-subject essays on a wide variety of topics. But up next, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, 10 o'clock. Stick around for headlines, interviews, and commentary coming right up. Thank you for listening to KBOO, and thanks KBOO members for your generous support.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the United States premiere of Liza, 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 produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs from May 5th through the 28th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. Join Liza Minnelli at three different stages of her life, often all on stage at the same time, with plenty of songs, backstories about the iconic and troubled daughter of Judy Garland, with a bit of dancing and prancing and much humor among the frightening tales of drink, drug abuse, broken legs, strokes, and hip replacements. Again, that's Liza, 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 May 5th through the 28th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, May 19th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio for real people, 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Today's weather: showers are likely and high around 60. Winds 6 to 9, and tonight again, persisting showers. Mainly early on, though, lows around 49, chilly. Southwest winds 5 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. I doubt that very much. Good chance of rain. And for tomorrow, a slight chance, probably later in the day, overcast skies, and a high around 65, light winds. And for Friday night, again, showers possibly peaking over the horizon. Lows around 50 and winds 5 to 7 miles per hour. That's it for the weather, anchoring us to the place where we live. Probably, I like to think of weather as a gateway drug to the rest of our collapsing habitat. It's a way to dip a toe in the waters and disrupt that hypnotizing image of the self. We've got some great guests today. Lauren Wood with Wasatch Rising Tide in Utah is joining us to talk about some rather hinky Bureau of Land Management sales. Somebody really, and I'm thinking of doing it myself, should take a long, hard look at the Bureau of Land Management, because pretty much everything they do seems to be corrupt in one way or another. There is virtually no oversight whatsoever, and there is no regulatory agency looking over their shoulder. Our next guest, of course, will be Pamela Larson, just Nestle out of the gorge. Pamela was instrumental in the work, the hard work that people did up around Cascade Locks and Hood River. As we know, Cascade Locks was somewhat corrupted itself. If not that, then indeed betrayed and betraying they were the Nestle's political action committee, insanely well funded, got a hold of their ears and twisted hard and yelled jobs, and people voted accordingly, as if it's not obvious looking around the whole country that wherever something ghastly has happened to the environment, an oil spill, a gas leak, poisoned water systems, what has happened is somebody yelled jobs and everybody went, oh great, sign me up. With predictable consequences. Now we've got Lauren Wood on the line, though, to talk a little bit about exactly that. Good morning, Lauren. Thanks for being with us today. Hi. Good morning. And we'll have Lauren on.
Hey.
Yes.
Sorry.
There you are. No. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm excited to be here.
Bill, Lauren's with us.
Why is that? Last couple weeks.
Was such rising tide, and it seems that a great deal goes on in your neck of the woods. We don't often get a lot of news coverage of what you're up to, but there was recently a very interesting action took place, and we want to hear a little bit more about what went on. I want to just get my notes here. Salt Lake City, dozens of people disrupted, I understand, and this is a mainstream media report, disrupted a Bureau of Land Management oil and gas lease sale. The action is coming right after the Keep It in the Ground protests and disruptions. Isn't that amazing? How these things are timed, you have to wonder. Of course, this is calling for an immediate end to all fossil fuel development. Talk, if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about this action and how it's planned and how you went about drawing attention to the BLM's actions again.
Yeah, sure. So, the actions that happened yesterday in Salt Lake City, Utah, are part of a much larger national movement to keep fossil fuels in the ground, period. And they're targeting the federal government, the Obama administration, to try and do so through stopping all new coal, oil, and gas leasing on federal lands, which means largely Bureau of Land Management lands at this point.
6,000 acres we're talking about, is that right?
Right, which in all scheme of things is actually a drop in the bucket compared to how large some of these quarterly lease sales can be. And so these lease sales are something that us in Utah that have been doing work on climate justice have been pretty aware of for a long time since Tim DeChristopher's action back in 2008. It's interesting to finally have a whole movement that's galvanizing around realizing the strategic leverage that we have by targeting the Department of the Interior and the BLM in the reckless continuing extraction of fossil fuels on our public land. So that's why we were targeting the BLM lease sales yesterday. And what ended up happening through three-part harmony song was a classic act of civil disobedience and direct action, disrupting business as usual with corporations stealing that land from us. So yeah, that's why we did.
The results of the auction, what was the fallout there?
What was the result of the auction? There were three of four parcels, again, a pretty small drop in the bucket compared to typical auctions, that were indeed successfully bid on. Unfortunately, even though there were multiple disruptions that delayed the proceedings for probably somewhere around half an hour, they were eventually able to, extract us from a sit-in and proceed with the auction.
That's what they do best is extraction, I guess.
they were really good at extracting us and creating disharmony with our musical harmony as we left the room. But that being said, in that room was an incredibly courageous young woman left after we had been removed, named Victoria Ramos, who's self-identified as a homeless individual. And while she didn't have means to actually pay for that bid, she bid on those leases anyways.
Yeah.
So it's actually a really exciting moment in that there was another individual in the community with the group Elders Rising who was willing to step up and give her a cashier's check to pay in full for those leases that she won, which means she won't likely be tried criminally like Kim, but is now likely to be going somewhere on the same path with other activists like Terry Tempest and Brooke Williams as they seek to actually try and quote-unquote develop energy of a different sort on these public lands.
Well, Tim, as I understand it, Tim DeChristopher had something in the order of $100,000, so his arrest was illegal in the first place because he had some of the money likely to raise the rest through supporters. And the thing, too, with these some of these leases is the people who the companies, oil and gas companies that bid on them, they don't have the money either. Once they
right.
if they win
totally.
The auction, then they go out to shareholders or other interested parties that expect to cash
sure.
in. They don't have any more money than the protesters often.
Right. And I think what you're getting at is the fact that we are seeing right now what I would consider to be a pretty big 180 as far as the administrative response to these kinds of protests than we did in 2008. I think for one thing, it's no longer Bush. It is the Obama administration, and they don't want to look bad by arresting a number of activists who are trying to fight for climate justice. I think the Obama administration is smarter than that. I also think that, people learn from what Tim did and realize that that kind of bold action is necessary. So the BLM has recognized that it's probably not going to be just Tim anymore and that this was a long time coming.
Thanks so much for that, Lauren. I really appreciate you joining us today. Hopefully we'll get updates from you as these things move along. We want to find out more about the Bureau of Land Management. It seems that they are able to get away with scot-free with so much of this. I want to thank you for that today. We're going to go next to Pamela Lawson with Nestle Out of the Gorge again. Pamela, instrumental is kind of the key players, the key people who made this happen. And good morning, Pamela. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, good morning.
We're so glad that you could take the time to talk with us. I want to ask you first, of course, about this tactic, apparently, of yelling jobs, and everybody rushes over to the wrong side of the boat. And the Political Action Committee that was so heavily funded by Nestle, that how did they manage to sway people in Cascade Lux with this offer of dubious jobs?
You know, it's very interesting because our group, the Local Water Alliance, started in Cascade Lux with the questions of what do you love about your town and what do you want here? And the group I met with, they wanted jobs, of course, but they wanted local and sustainable jobs, and they didn't think Nestle would be the right type of business to come in. Well, when we've investigated with Nestle, we found that, they have never committed to any certain number of jobs that they would provide if they set up a plant in Cascade Lux. Also, the Nestle plants are becoming more and more automated. There's less people working in the plants, and that's the direction they're going. So the call for, the declaration that they're going to bring all these jobs, we found fault with that. We found it was false. The other part of it is that taking water, our precious water from our area, puts current jobs at risk, such as the fishing community. We have a lot of tribal fishing people who have the right to fish on the Columbia. And for a lot of these people, this is how they make their money, and this is how they survive. And last summer, hundreds and thousands of salmon died because the Columbia got too warm. The Oxbow Springs water, which is actually the state water that is right outside of Cascade Lux that Nestle wants to bottle, that water is cold water, and it's fresh cold water that goes into the Columbia. We need those cold water streams helping to keep the Columbia cooler. And also the water in our area, we have a lot of orchards here. I mean, Hood River County, our economy is based on our orchards, and they use a lot of water. So they need our water. The farmers need our water.
And we are looking at drought again, very likely most last summer, a majority of counties around Oregon were facing drought, and it's likely that it'll be the same scenario this coming summer. So
yes, that's what they're expecting. And I was at the county meeting when Hood River County decided to be declared drought last June, and it was dire, the reports. From the scientists about the area, and they think it's a trend that every summer we're going to be seeing higher temperatures and we're going to have less water.
So what effect does that have on jobs as well? Because if there's no there are no orchards or farms, how many people would be displaced, do you think?
Oh, well, we still have orchards and farms. What they did last summer is that the orchardists, it was a real wake-up call. They realized they needed to alternate their irrigation schedule, and they still succeeded. They just have to be more careful. They have gotten grants this year to update their water system so that they have less water loss. It's just becoming more efficient. And so really it's a good kick in the butt that we need to really protect our water, because this is one of our, we've kind of taken it for granted, you know, on the western part of Oregon, and we can't any longer.
So with we're out of time now, but I would love to have you back.
Can I say one thing
yes,
about
the
new businesses?
Yes, absolutely, please.
So there are new businesses coming to Cascade Locks, and they're the kind that the local Water Alliance was wanting. In the May 11th Hood River News just last week, there was an article stating that the Warrendale Fishing Company wants to come on to the port. They've already written a deal. The renewal workshop, which closes the loop on clothes that are not perfect enough to sell for the company. They rework the clothes and sell them. Yeah. Locks and Treats, a gourmet hot dog and ice cream stand's coming in. Bear Mountain Forest Products is expanding, and so is Thunder Island Brewing. And the port staff said there's even more data centers and warehouses that have expressed interest in setting up at the port property in Cascade Lock.